Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now stay tuned for my teaching, Teach Us to Pray. I begin our study from God's Word by asking you a personal question. Why do you pray? If you and I were face to face and I asked you that question, how would you respond? I hope you would be able to give me a variety of reasons why you pray. But it would be interesting to know what reason you would put at the top of your list. You know, prayer has always been important to the people of God, and the subject of prayer occupies a significant amount of text in the Scriptures. We have many prayers recorded, prayers of praise and thanksgiving, prayers for divine intervention in times of crisis, prayers of repentance, prayers for blessing and spiritual growth, and prayers of fellowship and communion. Some portions of Scripture command us to pray. Others encourage us to pray, and still others instruct us how to pray and things we should avoid in prayer. The Scriptures also alert us to things that hinder the effectiveness of our prayer. The psalmist said, "If I regard or cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." James tells us that we ask for things to consume them upon our lusts. In doing that, we're often guilty of asking for the wrong things. Or perhaps we ask and we don't really expect to receive an answer. Again, James warns us, don't let that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. So we can begin our study of God's Word by agreeing on one thing, and that is that prayer is important. It's so important, Jesus not only taught about prayer, he modeled it for his 12 disciples and for us. As we continue our study in Luke's Gospel, we come to the opening verses of chapter 11, what's often called the Lord's Prayer. But I believe we could more appropriately call it the Model Prayer. I think you'll understand my reasons for this as we explore this text together. I've titled our study, Teach Us to Pray. Our text for the study is Luke chapter 11 and verses 1 to 4. Now I know many of you can recite this prayer from the more traditional form that's found in Matthew's Gospel. So listen carefully as I read Luke chapter 11 and verses 1 to 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This text contains several imperatives given by Jesus, which, if followed, will teach you and me how to pray. In meditating on this text, I was blessed to see the connection between the closing verses of chapter 10 and these verses from chapter 11. Taken together, the picture of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, and then the subsequent instruction provided by Jesus in this text, gives us a fuller and richer understanding of fellowship with Him and with the Father. Before we begin looking at the imperatives in this text, it will help you and me both to understand what an imperative is. An imperative is an order or a command, usually expressed in a forceful manner, such as, do this or don't do that. It also expresses the idea of necessity. For example, it's imperative that you follow the steps of the process in their prescribed order. So try to keep this definition in mind as we explore this text. The first imperative is a request for instruction. Luke tells us that Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." As you heard, I titled this imperative, A Request for Instruction. I hesitated to use the word request because the text makes it clear that the verb teach is an aorist imperative, that is, an action that takes place at a certain point in time, and it carries with it a sense of urgency. So we could paraphrase the disciple saying this, "Lord, teach us to pray, right now." Prayer was an important part of Jewish life. Though it's not recorded for us in the Luke 4 synagogue scene, a series of prayers were offered at both the opening and closing of regular services. Alfred Edersheim states that Jewish punctiliousness, that's a big word, means strict attention to formalities, defined every moment and attitude in prayer. If those rules were ever observed in their entirety, devotion must have surely been crushed under their weight. Those kinds of regulations make prayer a burden rather than a privilege and a delight. So can you imagine this disciple observing Jesus in prayer, recognizing the natural way in which Jesus is conversing with his Father? I can almost hear him thinking, "You know, if this is what prayer is, I want to know more about it. I want to know how to do it." Earlier in Matthew's record of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had taught the disciples certain precepts about prayer: posture, place, attitude, and so on. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 29 and other places, he taught them by his example. Something in his manner of prayer, or the wording, struck this disciple in a particular way and led him to make this request for Jesus' instruction. And who better to ask for guidance in prayer than Jesus? So then, this request comes with a sense of urgency, and you and I are blessed to be the recipients of Jesus' instruction. The second imperative is a reverence for the Father. If indeed this is a model prayer, and it surely seems to be, it's not so much our desire to repeat the words verbatim, but to understand and apply these principles to every one of our prayers. If you survey the recorded prayers of Jesus, you'll see them sprinkled through with abundant references to his Father. And as Jesus begins instructing us in the art and discipline of prayer, he teaches us to acknowledge and confess our Father who is in heaven. What's the significance of this phrase? Well, first of all, prayers, even the prayers of the heathen, are addressed to someone or something. The designation of our Father in heaven acknowledges that we understand him as the source of our life, indeed all life, both physical and spiritual. Addressing him as Father establishes identity, paternity. Addressing God as Father shows a level of familiarity tempered by reverence and awe. In my own experience as a child, I remember loving my dad, wanting to be with him, and wanting his approval. But I also remember fearing his displeasure when I disobeyed his commands. God is love, that's true, but that's only half the picture. He is also absolutely holy and absolutely just. Our understanding of God's role as Father is also influenced by progressive revelation. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 23, God responded to Moses' request to show him his glory by saying this, "You shall see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Compare that with 2 Corinthians 3:18, where Paul writes, But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God revealed himself to mankind as one who loves, is caring, and is approachable. In Psalm 68:5, David describes God this way: "A father to the fatherless and a protector of widows is God in his holy habitation." And Jesus, who showed such compassion for sinners and pronounced such harsh judgment on the self-righteous, said in John 10:30, "I and my Father are one." As you and I address the Father, we do well to remember these truths. In verse 2, we now encounter three imperatives. I'll list them, and then we'll look at each of them in detail. They are, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done, as in heaven, so on earth." These imperatives are exclusive to God, and they appear in our text in descending order. By that I mean they begin with God's name, move to his kingdom, and then finally to his will on earth. Hallowed be your name. This is the first imperative. We may understand this as, "May your name be held in reverence and treated as holy." God's name identifies who he is, his purpose, his character, his reputation, and much more. Jesus teaches us the imperative of understanding who we are addressing when we pray. Consider Isaiah's vision of the holy God and Isaiah's response in chapter 6 of his prophecy. Think of those in the scripture who approached God carelessly, like Nadab and Abihu, or in the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira. And then remember that through Jesus, you and I can come boldly, that is, confidently, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's Hebrews 4:16. You and I must learn to approach God's throne with care, respect, and reverence. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll plan to be here next week to pick up our study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, "Teach Us to Pray." Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, "Teach Us to Pray." Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org, or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, "Teach Us to Pray," either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, "Teach Us to Pray." And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.